Welcome to TRC Talks, a podcast by The Reynolds Company, an authorized distributor for Rockwell Automation. This show features conversations with the automation specialists from The Reynolds Company, explaining the evolving landscape of products, services, and solutions for industrial controls and automation.
Welcome back to TRC Talks. My name is Brad Freeman, and I have been your host for this series on asset management. Today is our final episode, episode number 6, where we discuss two asset-based contracts. Like last week, I give an overview of these two programs at the top of the interview, so this introduction will be a little shorter than usual. As always, please reach out to us. We intend this podcast to be a resource to you where you can find out who is available at Reynolds and at Rockwell to help you solve your business needs. So, thank you again for listening. Here is episode number 6 and our final episode in our asset management series. Hello and welcome back to TRC Talks. Today we have Bobby Tillotson with Rockwell Automation with us. Bobby and I work together managing the PERTS management agreements in the North Texas area, and then she covers a little more than that. We'll be talking about what PMAs are in just a few minutes. But first, Bobby, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thanks, Brad, for inviting me to join you today. Bobby Tillotson with Rockwell Automation. I've been with a company almost 30 years now. So been around and done a few different things. Currently am a PMA auditor specialist. As you mentioned, we help each other in management of the PMA contracts. I'm specifically tasked physically going out and doing audits, as well as I have a large portion of the western half of the U.S. So I get to see a whole lot of different industries and where we apply these PMA contracts. Glad to join you today.
So last week, we talked about two programs where we offer a trained individual who assists our customers in managing the assets of their automation infrastructure. This week, it's definitely a related discussion, but we're talking about two programs which are more targeted. The CHAMP and the RAMP programs we talked about last week, that's where you're relying on our resources, really on our personnel, to help you manage the chaos, I guess would be a good word, the chaos that sometimes arises in the repair supply chain management. The programs we're talking about today are more targeted to a specific bill of materials instead of taking an open-ended approach. Also, last week, I gave a quick overview of the series so far. I'm going to repeat that very briefly here just to solidify where in this bigger discussion these programs land. Through this series, we've been moving from planning towards implementation. So parts 1 and 2, we talked about the installed base evaluation and the network assessment. Again, they're plant-wide studies. They provide detailed information about the state of your facility. In part 3, we covered Asset Center, which is a software solution that gives some information about the changes made to your facility, some information about what is tied into your plant network. It's a bit of a bridge between planning and managing your infrastructure. In part 4, we moved on and we started talking about repair and remanufacturing, highlighting the cost savings available through those services. And then last week, we started to get more specific, talking about the CHAMP and the RAMP. Again, local resources who help you manage your repair supply chain. So this week, this is our final episode in this series. We are talking about two agreements, the parts management agreement and the annual repair agreement. The parts management agreement, we often call a PMA, and the annual repair agreement, I hear that acronym ARA occasionally, but typically we just call it the annual repair agreement. So first, we'll talk about the PMA. It's going to be the bulk of our discussion today. It's a much more common agreement, and it's what me and Bobby have a lot of overlap in managing together. So Bobby, I'll send it over to you first. 30 seconds right off the top. What is the PMA?
Obviously, it is a set contract for a certain number of years. Basically, it's a Rockwell-owned inventory on a customer site specifically geared towards their plant base, their install base there at their plant to support their machinery equipment for repair and keeping things up and in production. It's a contracted inventory.
So instead of purchasing a large amount of spares, we have Rockwell-owned inventory that is going to be held at the customer site. So when a customer signs one of these contracts, together we decide on a bill of materials, and these spares will be stored, like we said, at the customer facility, but are still owned by Rockwell. Once they're used, the customer pays for the item that they used, and then we'll ship out a new one to the site. So what's on site will always be owned by Rockwell, and what's being paid by the customer is only what's been installed and used in their facility.
Correct.
There's a monthly cost to this, and that gets adjusted as we make changes. So if a customer uses an item but doesn't want to replace that spare, if they know they're going to upgrade to something else, if they've decommissioned a machine, we can edit this bill of materials throughout the life cycle of the contract.
Correct. It makes it very flexible for the customer in that standpoint.
And so that's the point where Bobby and I come in. Bobby, what is your typical interaction on like a quarterly cycle look like with one of these contracts?
I'm usually engaging and setting up, you know, obviously the physical inventory. Upon doing that inventory, if we have gaps where we're missing certain items that should be on that bill of material that may have been used, not caught by those people at the plant, and they didn't notify someone like yourself, Brad, or others doing the transactional activity on that contract, we make sure that Reynolds is notified of the need for replenishments, getting those replenishments fulfilled in a timely manner. We're trying to make sure that that inventory is accessible to the customer, you know, when needed. So we need to have those items back on site. From a quarterly standpoint, that's a big, you know, to do the physical inventory and make sure that all of those bill of material items are there and in good working condition as well. So we look for any open boxes, deterioration that, you know, maybe, you know, wherever they're stored. Obviously, we always like to have those in a nice, safe, secure environment. But like anybody that can, you know, have water damage or something like that, depending upon where they're located in maybe a storeroom or facility. We're always looking for, you know, making sure that that inventory is, the integrity of that inventory is good and accessible for the customer to use at a moment's notice.
And I think that's a good bridge point to really what the main question of the PMA is. How does it show cost savings to the customer? You mentioned a few times, we're checking if a box has been opened, so if the factory seal has been opened, if there's any deterioration on the equipment. And all of that is being tracked by serial
Correct.
Number. And so one of the largest benefits to this program is since Rockwell owns the inventory until you use it, the warranty doesn't start until you use it.
That's correct.
In typical spares inventory, when you buy it, that's when it starts. That's when the warranty kicks in. And if you don't use it as a spare for several years, the warranty is never actually covering the part when it's on the plant floor, because by the time it's installed, that warranty is expired. So by having these regular audits, keeping track of what items are still in that factory sealed condition, we're verifying that your warranty is still active, rather that the warranty hasn't even yet begun. When it's used and installed, that's when we know the warranty has started. And ultimately, that's one of the biggest cost savings that we see is that extension of warranty to make sure it's being utilized while on the plant floor and not while collecting dust in the store.
Correct. Term that, and you'll see that in the PMA documentation as an in-service warranty. And that basically means the clock does not start ticking on that item until it is placed into service.
And that's where those quarterly audits also come into play. If an item has been opened, you know, sometimes we'll see somebody who takes it off the shelf, opens the item, oh, never mind, not the part I need, and they put it back. Well, the warranty just started.
Correct.
So that's been documented, and then we know, okay, from that date of the audit, that's when it starts. And we could send it back to have it tested and the warranty started again. There's a cost benefit discussion there that we would have. It depends on how critical the item is, how expensive the item is, et cetera, you know, if that would make sense or not. But we can test it and reinstate the warranty.
Correct. A lot of times when you see multiple situations of these, we kind of identify some of the plug and play aspects, some negative plug and play aspects with maybe certain maintenance teams in certain plants and facilities doing this plug and play of trying to troubleshoot with parts and pieces from the storeroom. You know, that kind of alerts to their maintenance teams to work with the maintenance personnel a little bit better on doing some better analytics troubleshooting before doing the plug and play with specific parts and pieces. That degrades any inventory integrity. If that part's not used, power was applied, but the next time you put that on the shelf and you go to use it, it may or may not work. So it helps them avoid and do better, learn better practices with their troubleshooting.
So one other side note that tends to come up in the early discussions, I think it concerns some customers more than others, some departments within customers more than others, is there's actually a tax benefit here as well. Because Rockwell still owns the inventory, it doesn't count as an asset. So when customers are calculating their annual carrying cost of holding inventory, taxes on assets should be a part of that. That is circumvented here because you don't yet own the inventory. There is a monthly cost to this contract, but it's less than those carrying costs.
Very true. And too, as accounting personnel will know, their budgets for certain expenditures via a capital expenditure or a monthly expense. And a lot of times customers like that, being able to categorize those monthly expenses are a little easier to deal with than a continual capital expenditures on a large inventory carrying cost.
And that transitions pretty well to the third main cost savings that we see is when you have to buy large spares or large quantities of spares, there's a big sunk cost there. It tends to veer more towards the capital budget side of things than it does the operational budget. That cost is sunk. It's spent right away. It's a large amount. And then there's no flexibility. If that item is upgraded down the road, you still have those spares taking up space in your storeroom. With this agreement, since Rockwell still owns the product, there's a few options as we reach the end of the 3 or 5 year cycle. Again, this could be a 3 year contract, a 5 year. Occasionally, we'll do 1 year contracts. Those depend on situation by situation whether they make sense. However long the contract is, when we reach the end of it, there's a few ways to proceed. Because you've been making these monthly payments on the contract, you could purchase these items at the end for a discounted rate. That is termed a buyout. Or you can send that back to Rockwell at no cost. Or third option, you can go ahead and renew the contract for another 3 or 5 years. The flexibility there and how you manage the bill of materials in your storeroom is another very big cost savings because, as we all know, the technology in this space is rapidly evolving. And when you're making large purchases to support technology that might not be in service 5, 10, 15 years down the road, having that flexibility allows you to more accurately keep up with supporting your equipment.
Yeah, that leads into another thought too on that. What we have found in a typical storeroom, 50% of those items, repair parts or replenishment parts that they keep in their spares, 50% of those are actually active items that support their install base. 30% are inactive. They don't have any install base currently in their plant. They may be from a past piece of equipment or something. And then 20% we find is often duplicates of active items. So they may only need one on an annual basis, depending upon, you know, meantime, you know, failure numbers and stuff like that. But they've got multiple in their inventory. So this kind of, we use a term, right sizes their fares in support of their install base as well.
So one of the voices I'm hearing in the back of my head from having this conversation with many different customers, at this point in the conversation, I usually hear the question, well, how do I know what to put on this contract? To answer that question, we're going to back all the way up to episode one in the series, which is the installed base evaluation. Remember, that gives you a full bill of materials for your entire plant. And as we're taking down that information, we're also documenting, is a line or machine running 24/7 or twice a week for 3 hours or anything in between? And so then as we see how many of an individual part number is installed in the facility, how often it's being used, from there we can calculate using industry averages, mean time to failure on these parts. We can calculate out, here's a recommended inventory level for this scenario. So those recommendations are made as part of the installed base evaluation. And then this is the direct action item to arise from that information is, let's put those spares you need in your facility where you need them.
Well, here again, to wrap this up, the main goal here is to maximize your uptime by making sure you have those ready access to those critical spares. And that will justify, in most instances, the parts management agreements.
More than justify, in my experience, that the cost savings are significant. So I want to take just a couple minutes at the end here. This episode is about agreements, about inventory-based agreements. And the PMA is the flagship agreement, if I want to put it that way. This is the one that we use very often. It fits a lot of different customer scenarios. It's very flexible. The annual repair agreement, I want to mention it. It's much less common. It works very well in specific scenarios. I'm going to give sort of the highlights, and I want our customers who are listening to this, if this is striking a chord, if you hear this and think, this could help my situation, this could help my plant run more cost effectively, give us a call and we'll come in, sit down and really hash out these details. We'll do a deep dive of your facility with you. We'll talk through what your budget looks like, what your current repair spend looks like. Those details are things that we're going to need to go through to come up with that recommendation of whether or not the annual repair agreement works. That leads to the question, what is the annual repair agreement? This agreement is a year-long contract with a fixed price covering all repairs out of your facility. Either by an in-depth analysis of your current repair spend or through an installed base evaluation, we get a picture of what's going on at your facility. We give you a fixed price number for the year, and then we'll repair anything that needs repairing. Now, I know that sounds a little backwards, but I want to step back and look at the repair supply chain. In most situations, when a customer is hurting, when they've had a failure, the repair company, be it us or another supplier, that's when they make revenue. Their profit is directly related to loss of profit of the customer. So it's always been a weird tension in the industry, because if you do a good job, the repairs are further spaced out because it lasts longer and revenue goes down. That's always been one of my arguments why going to the OEM for repair makes sense, because they're supporting the product that they've already sold you. They have more skin in the game than just getting as many repair transactions as possible. This program takes things one step further. We want to increase your uptime. We want to prevent repeat repairs, repeat failures of the same type, because we are in this together. This sort of agreement means that our bottom line and your bottom line are now tied together. When you have more uptime, we are investing less time and resources in repairing. So it stabilizes your budget. You're going to have monthly, quarterly, or an annual cost. That's one of the details that we work out as we go through this with you. But you have a stabilized budget, you know you're covered, and we're going to be working to drive down the number of repairs and drive up the uptime. The mean time between failure needs to go up. Again, this is a short version, a short overview of that program. If that strikes a chord, if you're interested in hearing more, please reach out to us. That's going to be a deep, in-depth discussion we're going to have with you that we look forward to having with you, but not one that's very well suited to a broad-based podcast format because it's going to be very individual and tailored to your plan. So, Bobby, I'm really grateful that you came on today. Again, Bobby and I work together. We have calls at least once a week. We're managing a lot of these contracts, a lot of the operational side of replenishing used items and adding and removing items to our customers' existing agreements. But it's always great to have another voice here on the podcast. It's always great to show to our customers the resources that we have available, and Bobby is one of those.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. And obviously, I'm very supportive of the PMA. I think it's a good service we can provide. And hopefully, you'll have some additional discussion with others. We can add to our portfolio with the PMAs.
Thank you for listening to this episode of TRC Talks. For support, please see our website, reynoldsonline.com. And for those outside our area, please visit rockwellautomation.com and you can find your authorized local distributor there. TRC Talks is produced and hosted by Wayne Welk and Brad Freeman of the Reynolds Company. Editing and mixing for this episode were by Brad Freeman, and today's guest was Bobby Tillotson. Thank you again, and we'll see you in the next episode.